Welcome back, everyone. Today is Monday, May the 8th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. If you guys want to help us keep the conversation going, you can support the show by sharing it online, leaving us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, where you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a link in the description so you can do just that. But before we do anything else, let's go ahead and hit the verse of the day.
You sound so charming when you say that. You guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the podcast, sharing it online, leaving us a good 5-star review.
That's my radio voice.
Very,
I practice it.
Very charismatic. Very, very charming.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of calmness to it. You guys can help us do that by doing this and by doing that. But before we do anything else, y'all know what it is. It's the verse of the day.
Oh, gosh.
Read it to them.
Scared all of our listeners, including me.
Read it to them.
The verse of the day today, before John pops a gasket, comes from Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith.
Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of people in the world whose desire is just to get ahead, you know, to get even with somebody or just to get out of a difficult situation. But we have desires that service us. You know, that's sort of the human nature of what we do is how do I get ahead? How do I gain from this interaction? How do I gain from this choice? But people, what he's saying is, as we have the opportunity, let us do good for all. Let us do good to all,
right?
Especially of those who are the household of faith. Means if you're a Christian, your desire should be just to do good, even if you don't gain from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the, I guess crux of this verse is those who are of the household of faith. You know, as Christians, we're supposed to be an example to the world mm-hmm. of what the love of God looks like. Mm-hmm. And that's to people who are outside of our faith, but it's especially to our brothers and sisters who are in Christ. If I am hateful to you and I mistreat you and right. I am self-centered and egotistical and I only look out for myself, what picture does that paint for the world about what
That's
the
right.
body of Christ is like?
That's right.
I mean, if we can't even get along and we are both Christians, why would a non-Christian want any part of that?
Yeah, I don't want none of that.
Exactly.
It looks just like what I got, but worse, because they're at least pretending that they don't do it.
Right. So our love for one another is twofold. Number one, we should do it because we are being obedient to God and being Christ-like. And number two, because we are a good example to the world around us of what it means to be a follower.
That's right. And I want to speak this next segment in love. Because, you know, I got love for all of God's creatures. I got love for all people.
Uh-huh.
But right now, we need to get into the grapevine.
Oh, that's a hard transition. Like, love all people straight into the grapevine.
Welcome to the grapevine. Do you want to explain to the people what the grapevine is?
The grapevine is a delightful segment on our show where we, John and I, and sometimes our sound engineers, will pluck a gripe mm-hmm. that is ready for harvest.
Here's what it sounds like right here.
It is ripe. It is filled with tartness, acrid comments, and it is ready for consumption.
That's it. That's it, man. I've got a gripe today.
Your gripe today. Okay.
Slow right. people.
Like driving or
no.
just,
people who are slow.
That just move slowly?
That move slowly with no urgency at all. So I'll be sitting in my house and my wife will say, we need to be somewhere at 6 o'clock. And mm-hmm. I look at the time and it's 5:30. And I'm like, okay, this shouldn't be a problem. I'll shower, put on a shirt, put on a pants, put on a shoes. I'm ready to go. It's 6 o'clock. My wife hasn't even showered. And so I'm like, hey, babe, it's time to let's go. And she's like, I'm not ready. I haven't been getting ready. I've been doing this and that and this and that. And I'm like, okay, I'll help you. Give me a list of things that I can be doing. So I'm like, okay, I'll go change the baby. I'll put the baby's clothes on. I'll do this. I'll do this. Hey, you're ready to go? No, I'm not ready. I can't get ready if you keep asking me. People just move slowly. And it tease me off.
Is this people or is this your wife?
My wife is one of the worst. Your wife is pretty slow too.
She can be.
Yeah.
However, we do have 5 kids to get from location A to location B. Yeah. So that's a production anytime we go anywhere.
It's not just my wife, although she's one of the main offenders. David is also fairly slow.
What?
Dave, you are pretty slow.
What?
You can be slow. And I think that's bad.
I'm slow.
I think that's bad and should be avoided. That's why it's on the grapevine.
I'm slow when it comes to things that you think are important that I know are not.
Like this morning.
You wanted coffee. I was going to bring this up. I was just going to say this. You texted me. Coffee? Three question marks.
Yes.
Right.
What does that say to you?
Already aggressive.
Right. That says...
Multiple punctuation. Already aggressive.
That says to me that...
This is urgent.
No. That says to me that I'm on the way. I expect you to have coffee made for me.
And it was 9:50.
Right. That right there makes me like... No.
You're like, I'm going to take my time.
I'm not going to take my time. Uh-huh. I'm not going to have it ready when he gets here.
So then I asked, I was like, hey, is there coffee? And you're like, in a minute, I just got to write an email. Okay. That's perfectly reasonable. That was at what? 9:55? 10:40 rolls around and you're still writing one email. One email?
I wasn't writing the email for the whole time.
So you told a lie.
I wrote the email.
You told a lie.
I had to get like pictures and stuff to go in the email, and then I had to link all that. And then after I finished that, I moved on to some other stuff, and I did like the radio show, or I did like the stuff that goes on Pastor Shaw's PhD page. So that was all of that happening within that hour. It wasn't just the email. I just told you the email so that you would get off my back.
See if this helps.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I realize this is unsolicited advice.
Sure.
You're the one who harvested the gripe, so I'm going to help you. Okay. I'm going to help you refine the gripe.
Okay.
Get ready last.
Yeah.
You get ready last. Like, say, okay, I'll watch the boys. You go ahead and get in the shower. I'll get them ready to go. And then when you get out of the shower, because it doesn't, I mean, how you said 15 minutes maybe for you?
Well, that was a lie. That was a lie. But it made my point. So yeah, 15 okay. minutes.
Yeah. Not as long for you to get ready as it does for your wife to get ready.
Right.
Which is typical.
Right.
Typically, as guys, it doesn't take us as long as it does our wife
to get
ready. So
you're saying kind of lounge for a while.
No. I'm saying you accomplish like, okay, I got to pack the diaper bag. Okay, I got to change the boys. Okay, I got to get them dressed and ready to go. Got to make sure we got this, whatever wherever we're going, make sure we have what we need. You do all those things. Let her go get herself ready. Mm-hmm. And then be like, okay, babe, we got 10 minutes left. I need to do this X, Y, and Z. You get the boys in the car, and I'll meet you out there.
I just got a text, and I think that's bad advice, but I will. Oh. I'm not gonna dismantle it because this intro is kind of running long. I just got a text from Melissa, who works in the office with us. Y'all want coffee? And guess what? If I were to say yes, which I did, she's gonna make it right now, and that's the way it should be done. And I feel like I'm showing my entire behind right now.
You are.
But
I feel like a lot of your problems too would be solved if you just brought coffee from home.
That's fair. That's more than fair.
All
right, we gotta stop this intro because it's running long. But that's my gripe, slow people.
Well, there you go. We've got a great episode planned for you guys today. Hopefully, I'm not going to move the rest of the episode slowly, but at an enjoyable pace where you can benefit from the conversation. We're going to get Dr. Shaw, but if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be right back.
Well, good morning, afternoon, evening, Clearview Today listeners. My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we just want to take a quick second and let you know about another way that you can keep in touch with Dr. Shaw's work. And that is his weekly podcast series, Sermons by Abadan Shaw, PhD.
As a lot of you may know, or maybe some of you don't know.
If you don't know, you do now.
And if you don't know, then maybe just hop off the podcast.
David.
I'm just playing.
Hop off the podcast.
I'm just playing. Keep listening. Dr. Shaw is actually the lead pastor of Clearview Church in North Carolina. Every single weekend, he preaches expository messages that challenge and inspire us to live God-honoring lives.
Well, one of the four core values of Clearview Church is that we're a Bible-believing church. So every sermon is coming directly from Scripture, which is great because that guarantees that there are timeless truths that are constantly applicable to our lives.
This is a great resource because whether you're driving, whether you're cleaning the house, whether you're working out, you can always benefit from hearing the Word of God spoken into your life. And God's Word is always going to do something new for you every time you hear it. Sometimes it's conviction, and sometimes it's encouragement. But know that every time you listen to God's Word, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to move and work in your life.
You guys can check out the Sermons by Abadan Shaw, PhD podcast. First and foremost, check it out on our church app. That's the Clearview app. You can get that in the Google Play Store. You can get that on iTunes. But you can also find the podcast on the Apple Podcast app or on our website at clearviewbc.org. And listen, if you've got a little extra time on your hands, you just want to do some further reading, you can also read the transcripts of those sermons. Those are available on Dr. Shaw's website, abadanshaw.com. And we're going to leave you guys a little link in the description so you can follow it. But for right now, David, let's hop back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. And if today's your very first time joining the podcast, we want to welcome you, let you know who's talking to you today. Dr. Abadan Shah is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work on his website at abadanshah.com. And I got to say, you got a full house today.
We do.
A lot of guests around the table.
I am too.
So those of you who are watching the show, you already have kind of an idea what's coming up. If you're listening, maybe not so much. But Dr. Shah, why don't you introduce our special guests on today's episode?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, people may not realize that, but back in seminary days, gospel music is what I used to listen to all the time.
Okay.
I mean, from the Gaithers to the Cathedrals.
Yeah, little Crab family.
Oh, yes. Right? That was our thing. And I used to work on a paint crew, and we had that little stereo box over there blaring.
Blasting.
Yes. And, and you know, and man, we would sing along. We thought we could sing just as good, but we couldn't.
Yeah, you don't realize how good some of those guys are until you try to sing this song.
Until you try to hit
I thought I was like as good as Jason Crabb, and then I was like, oh, no.
Now, who was the one in that original group who used to hit the high notes? In the Gaither vocal band.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but I can't place
Jimmy Fortune?
No, they've had several ones. Now, there's another one.
I can't think of his name.
But he's to Michael, what is his name? But anyway, it'll come to me in a minute.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
And I thought I could hit it, and I would try, but it didn't work. But today we have my good friend Jimmy Barrier here with us. Along with one of his friends and buddies on his group. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Donald Dixon is here with us. We call him Chip.
So, all right.
You know, we've been playing since we were kids. It was like 1973 is about the time that, the band that we played was called Salt Creek Express.
Mm-hmm.
And that was formed back in 1974, 75, somewhere in there. And we used to go down to Lewisburg to the folk festival in Lewisburg.
What about
and
that?
Compete in the folk festival. And we were kids. Doc Watson came one year and played. You know, there was a guy named Alan DeMint that ran that. And he ran it every year. And it was run through the college.
Okay. You know,
Alan DeHart. It's not DeMint. It was Alan DeHart was his name. But he's very iconic in music that was here and around.
That's right. But that's right.
And the name of your group currently is?
It's a play on words. Now, don't everybody laugh.
That's why I ask, because I love a good play on words.
Jimmy and the Sound Barriers.
I love it.
Love
so you can constantly break the sound barrier.
Yeah. So what I do is I swap out banjo players, or I swap out guitarists, or if I have something that somebody can't do and can't commit to, vacations, this, that, and the other, you know, and I have something on 4th of July and I don't have a banjo player, I just sub in another banjo player, you know.
So how many people all together on a...
In a bluegrass band, you usually have a dobro player, a bass player, a main guitar player, a banjo player, and a... what else?
A
fiddle player, if you can get one. They're rare.
That's a tough one to get. Yeah. Huh?
Is it hard to find a fiddle player?
It's hard to find a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I can imagine.
That's the qualifier. You may be able to find a fiddle player, but are they up to their stuff?
Yeah, that's hard to do. It's hard to find in that genre of music.
Right. Mm.
It's hard to get someone youthful to play that kind of music.
Well, that's what they say too. They say if you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the band.
Exactly.
I've heard that once or twice somewhere. I can't.
The lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man.
Sure.
Somewhere I see this going on.
Very nice. Well, tell us how for both of you, how did you get started playing music? Where did this appreciation for gospel music specifically come from?
Well. Mine started with an album that I got. It was the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band album, and it had a history of music and iconic people on it. And that's where I kind of really started. And friends of mine, Curtis Tindall and H.E. Tindall, they played music, and kind of we would sit around on the neighborhood corners, you know, and play with all the kids that come out, and we'd play, you know. And we had a guy named Al Wester that played a washboard.
And, oh, my word.
That's pretty cool. You
know, that is cool. His dad was Westerility here, and okay. Bill Wester.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And John Wester.
Yes. You
know,
yeah.
It's their brother. He's in Washington now. I think he's an interpreter for... Okay. In Washington.
Okay.
Spanish interpreter is what I heard.
What about that?
But I hadn't seen him in a long time, but I'm going to tell him about this podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, they can listen to it from anywhere.
That's right.
Come on.
And we play with another guy that I don't want to miss mentioning his name, Tommy Tunstall. And he played with us forever. We did little small gigs when we were young and different places and stuff.
Now, these are all from right here, Henderson, Vance County.
Wow.
And then it kind of involved other people, you know, older people that were around that helped us. And I wrote some of them down so I wouldn't miss any. The fiddle player that's going to come for this night of praise is Dunk Preddy was his grandfather, and he had a place over in Franklin County.
Okay.
And we would, by the time we turned 16, we would get in the Volkswagen and go over and play on Friday nights at this little shack, they called it, you know. But we'd play music there, you know.
Wow.
And his name is Clifton Preddy.
Okay.
That's going to be coming. I got my fingers crossed. He's got, he works where he may have to be out of town, maybe out of the country.
Oh, wow.
So I got my fingers crossed on that.
We'll pray that he'll.
But you'll be amazed if he's here. And,
wow. Yeah,
you'll be amazed with J.W. Sanders, who's the banjo player. And J.W., where is he from, Chip?
Clarksville.
He's from Clarksville.
Yeah, he's Clarksville, Virginia.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we go off there. Quite often. Yeah. And, of course, you'll be here, Mr. Chip?
Yeah, I'll be here.
All right.
Doing whatever Jimmy needs me to do.
So what do you play?
Whatever he needs me to play.
Okay. You
know, just...
He's multi-talented.
Is that right?
You know, I think he wants me to play the bass on some of the songs that he sings, and I'll be playing the guitar most of the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I like to have another bass player other than me when I sing my songs because it's kind of like patting your head and rubbing your stomach.
Yeah, I can imagine. You
know, you engage in two different parts of the brain at once.
Yeah, and I have what I call lyric detention deficits.
I'm amazed when I watch people play drums and sing at the same time. I'm like, I don't know how you do that.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it takes a lot of concentration. Oh, yeah.
They got their feet going too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and they're still singing. Yeah.
You played on your worship team when you were small in India, didn't you?
I did. I played, you know, of course, synthesizer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I used to play some drums.
Yeah.
So
you were telling me about the different instruments they had, like the little piano box that it was called?
Yeah, it's like an accordion, but it's called a harmonium.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I used to play the harmonium. Yeah. Still can. It takes a few tries and it'll get back
I would imagine it's kind of hard to find one here and there.
Yeah, I mean, you can find one in the big cities. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
We've got to work on finding a harmonium.
Yeah, harmonium.
An episode dedicated to that on the show. We've got to write it down. Somebody, we got to.
It's just an accordion, is all it is, really. Yeah.
How did the Knights of Worship get started here at Clearview? Because that's something that we've been doing for a good while.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's, you know, worship is such an important part of Christian life, especially church life.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people downplay that. You know, they focus on the word, which I'm very much passionate about that. But worship is almost like it's like the drink. You know, it helps you swallow the content down. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why we have worship. You know, it gets our hearts and our minds right upon God and ready to receive the word. And so the nights of worship that we started here at Clearview are so beautiful, so well attended. You see people just raising their hands, worshiping God, praising.
Mm-hmm.
And so
music
is
powerful.
Music is powerful.
You know, and you know, Dr. Shaw, being the theologian that you are, you know, I've always heard that Lucifer's job was the minister of music.
Yes.
And because he knew it was powerful.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why with music and worship, it's such a thing you tread in that direction with humility and and recognition that when you're praising God, you're telling the enemy, I got your job.
That's right. Mm.
So you always do it in a sense of humility, never bragging, never boasting, because you know you're under attack. Yeah.
There was a time when you told me that it really transformed the way I thought, because there was a time where I felt like there was so much trouble or so much like just...
There's attacks.
Just attacks and fires, constantly putting out fires. Like, you can't do anything creative because you're constantly putting fires out. And yeah. I was talking to Dr. Sean about it, and he's like, well, you know, that you're telling the devil that this is your job now, and you're doing his job. Of course he's not going to be happy with you doing it. If you're not strong and if you're not guarded up in the word and you don't have Christ on your side, of course you'll always be putting fire.
Your heart has to be in the right place.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a great point.
And that's kind of what you were saying too, like musicians just being a different breed of people. Like it just, if it's not managed well and God's not on your side, it can breed disaster.
Yeah. It can.
But also at the same time, what a blessing that it is when God is with you.
Mm. Oh yeah. You know, I wanted to mention, you know, we're going to have a array of ages,
mm-hmm. you know, yes.
in there. And we're going to have a guy named Matt Nelson that plays harmonica with us. And he is his 93rd birthday this month.
What about that?
And, amazing. He's going to be there. And then we'll have a 9-year-old, which is with the Hognett band. And
9 decades of difference.
Yeah. and some of the things that, you know, you think about with air travel and flight and things like that. And all this Matt Nelson tells a story of when he was a kid that his dad, knew down in Kitty Hawk and how you went across on the ferry. He knew the ferry driver. Okay, so he says, I remember the ferry driver, and that ferry driver's the one that took the Wright brothers over.
And, isn't that crazy?
And you know, from 1902 to 1907, he took the ferry, you know, that's when.
Isn't that something?
And then he knew that guy, you know. Gosh. And so.
And we'll have the same gentleman here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
on the stage.
Yeah.
Coming up on May.
Yeah. 20th. And you think about that, you know, think about the technology that we're sitting around in this room with. And
yeah, it's incredible.
And then, you know, this man who's going to be on stage.
Yeah, those generations are not that far removed. Yeah. Really. Yeah.
And I love the fact that music is what is bringing everybody together. You know, we've talked recently on the show and here at Clearview about the importance of generations standing together. And Dr. Shaw, the term that you put forward, and I love it so much because the heart is behind it, is an intergenerational church.
Absolutely. Not just a multi-generational. Multi-generation means we have all different generational groups, like Silent Generation, you know, the Boomers, the Gen Xers or the Busters, Millennials, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, they're all here. Mm-hmm. Intergenerational is where they learn to interact and appreciate each other.
Yes.
And I believe so much that we don't have that in our country right now. We're divided. We're divided on so many levels.
So many levels. Age is one of them.
Age is one of them. Racial, socioeconomic, political. I mean, so much division. And I think it's the enemy has used certain people to make it happen.
You know, the Hognett family is Jamie Hognett, and they're out of Bahama. And
oh, I know Bahama. Yes.
And we always kid him, tell him he's from the Bahamas. but Jamie's 49, and he learned in church how to play and with his dad and his uncle, you know. And so when he started, when he was 15, and so his kids, he wanted to get them involved in it. So they were 5, 6, and 7, and it's a dobro player, a banjo player, and a fiddle player, Evan, Grayson, and Brooke. And Brooke is the oldest girl. She's 17 and plays the fiddle and is beautiful. Mm. And they're going to do some songs that it's just going to be jaw dropping. Right. I just saw them, you know.
Well, see, we're passing on this tradition down to the next generation. And that's necessary. That's essential to maintain the culture, maintain who we are as a people. You know, if we don't pass it on, if we just hang on to it, it'll die with you.
That's right. Yeah.
So having these multi generations on the stage, it's so vital. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it'll inspire other people.
Yeah. And I think everybody has to understand that we have to listen and we have to use the culture music of
that's
today.
Right. That's right.
You know, to attract them. You know, they you want to have something fresh and something new.
Absolutely.
You know, but you know, but still, I don't want to lose the stuff that was
that's,
there.
That's right. I think you build on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you build on it,
and you do it, and you present it in new ways. You know, the gospel has been around for 2,000 years since Jesus preached it. And yet at the same time, we keep finding, we're not finding a new message, but we're finding that same message, those same words, and we're presenting it to people in the context of today. I mean, that's why we do all the things we do with the TV or the light board or all these things that we do on the stage to attract people, because the message stays the same.
Absolutely. You know what
I mean? And it's the same, I think, with these songs, these gospel songs. The message they're putting out is the same, but we're finding new and creative ways to do it. And we're showing those generations that, you know, this music is for all generations to enjoy.
That's right. You know, and just to add just a little bit more to the separation of the youth and the old there, you know, you can think about the first plane that people saw.
Right.
You know, they saw a first plane, and now you see a plane go over and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, nobody thinks about it.
Nobody thinks anything about it.
That's right.
And so, you know, the technology has gone, it was at all, you know, the phones, your phones, when it first came out, you know, the bag phones and things like that. It was like, wow, he can talk to somebody in his car.
You know? It'd be a massive brick is what they used to have at one time.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's something to be said about, you know, where we live in a world where we're so overloaded with information, we're so overloaded with negativity and bad news that, you know, you listen to bluegrass and gospel music and it just takes you to a time where things just seemed simpler, like where things seemed easier, like the message of God was just clearer?
I do. I do. And that's, I kind of put that on the back of one of the flyers about it takes you back to a simpler time. I know that I do this when I look at the news and it gets so overwhelming and so frustrating. Mm-hmm. And so I know the answer to that.
That's right.
I know what you should do. Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't we doing it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what to do.
Right.
But I take the remote and I change and I watch Andy Griffith a simpler time.
Yeah.
You know, I go back and I watch something that puts me in a better place.
Mm-hmm. Like the Darlings.
Yeah.
we've kind of hinted at it a little bit, but for the sake of our listeners and our viewers, let's talk a little bit about this actual night of worship that we're talking about, the Gospel Night of Praise, coming up right here at Clearview on May the 21st. It's going to be such a wonderful night of beautiful music. Like we said, songs that remind you of a simpler time, kind of take you back and give you that feeling of nostalgia of when life was a little bit simpler, had a little slower pace to it. That's amazing. And that leads into, you know, the night of worship that we're talking about, the Gospel Night of Praise. That's coming up right here at Clearview, May the 21st. If people would like more information, you can text us here at the radio show, 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com. Especially if you're local, if you're in the area right in North Carolina, we'd love for you guys to come out and be a part of this beautiful night of worship where you're going to see people of all different ages engaged in this act of worship together.
That's right.
Enjoying the same kind of music, all with the purpose of supporting, of course, the ministry Anchor of Hope right here at Clearview, and of just a night of worship, night of praise together.
That's right. And if you want to listen to that Anchor of Hope episode where we actually had your wife, Miss Kay Barrier, on the show before, we will link that in the description of this podcast.
You guys very, very that link. Important ministry.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Very
yes.
critical. So we want to show our support for that ministry. We want you guys to show your support for that ministry as well.
That's right. Make sure you guys check it out. The Gospel Night of Praise coming up May the 21st here at Clearview Church. If you'd like more information or if you'd like directions to the church, you can send a text to 252-582-5028 or contact us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Mr. Jimmy, Mr. Chip, thank you so much for being on the show today. This was fun.
This was very fun. Absolutely.
Well, my question is, are we going to do Man of Constant Sorrow?
Come on, man.
I just had to ask.
I've seen trouble all my days.
Hey. Yeah, we've been picked on about doing that song. You know, that's what everybody knows.
I know.
Very true. So cool. We love you guys. We'll see you next time on Clearview Today.